The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, yes, it is. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can be with us on this Friday afternoon. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. And we got a lot to do. I'll have a review of that Democrat debate last night. Ooh, it was captivating. So we'll do that in a few minutes. But we begin today with a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, we had an exclusive story about the King County executive, Dow Constantine, who allegedly, although it's not alleged, it's proven, he uses King County Sheriff's Executive Protection Unit to drive him to bars at night. And so what we're trying to find out is to what extent that's being abused and how much it's costing us. And also, from what we've heard from multiple sources, Dow likes the drinky drinks. And so I just want to make sure that King County is safe if there's an emergency. You know, if there was ever a natural disaster or a terror attack that resulted in King County Emergency Management Services is the number one guy ready to run things at night if he drinks as much as we are being told. And so we broke that story a few weeks ago. And then last weekend, a listener sent us pictures of Dow drinking at a place in West Seattle, and Dow was lamenting, oh, this is going to be on the news now. And so we launched what we call Dow Watch, where I've asked the listeners to just let me know if you see our King County executive out and about drinking at night, and preferably to take pictures. And this listener did not take pictures. But in trying to vet this email as best I could, there was enough corroborating evidence that I feel comfortable going with it. It was sent to me from Prefer to Stay Anonymous. But here's what he wrote. I was having dinner tonight. He sent this to me last night. I was having dinner tonight, Thursday the 27th, with my family at Endeline Joe's here in West Seattle. Their private room was reserved by a group of people watching the Democratic debate on television. One man was standing by the door right outside the room and kept staring insistently at my wife. I really can't blame him, as she is absolutely gorgeous. I'm used to the stare, so it didn't bother me, but it did bother my wife a bit. After a while, she confronted him, asking him if they knew each other, adding that he looked familiar. To my surprise, the man introduced himself as Dow Constantine. My wife, who is not much into politics, didn't know who he was, but me as a daily listener did. I almost spat a mouthful of jambalaya. It is New Orleans month at Endelines. It took me back to just a couple days ago when Dory received a message and photos of Dow at a bar with a woman possibly spending our tax money on booze. Sure enough, he kept on drinking glass after glass of red wine, not even following the debate, instead continuing to stare at my wife. Again, I really can't blame him. She is most definitely more interesting than whatever was happening in that room. Heading back to our car, there was his security waiting in the parking lot, meter ticking away our hard-earned money. And so I have to vet this a little bit, at least. So I found out that there was a Democrat debate viewing party at this restaurant hosted by Dow Constantine. And then when the writer of the email said he almost spit out his jambalaya, I went to the restaurant's website, and indeed it is New Orleans month there. So they are serving jambalaya. And this is what we had been told by our sources, that ever since Carolyn Osorio, our reporter, broke the story on our show, the Dow has just gotten more insistent on having the security detail drive him to bars, that he is abusing it more than ever and just kind of pouting about the fact that we broke this story about him. So I would ask you to continue helping us out with Dow. What photos are always appreciated, though. I wish this listener had taken a picture. but photos would be appreciated. But keep an eye on the King County executive if he's out and about. We are working on the public disclosure records to see if he is, because government is not supposed to spend our money on booze. And so we're trying to figure out if he's expensing booze on the taxpayer dime. We know that the transportation is being provided on the taxpayer dime. Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknecht could possibly answer some of these questions, but she continues to refuse to honor her commitment to come on the show. But Nicole continues to work on it. But as of now, I was just blatantly lied to by the sheriff about her coming on the show anytime, even if it's an embarrassing situation for the sheriff's office. So I don't like being lied to. I don't like taxpayer money being wasted. I'm not crazy about married guys who stare at other guys' wives, if that's what happened. But I can only take the listener's word on that. But we already, we've set the standard. CNN and MSNBC, they put that whack job writer on around the clock a couple days ago saying she was, assaulted by the president. So I know that the vetting process wasn't too good on her. So anyway, keep your eyes peeled for Dow Watch 2019 as we continue to try to watch out for your tax dollars with our King County executive. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And then, as we mentioned a day or two ago, Seattle is considering following in line with San Francisco and becoming one of the first United States cities to ban sales of e-cigarettes. San Francisco did the e-cig ban starting on Tuesday, and Jenny Durkin has said that it's time to discuss an e-cig ban in Seattle. What makes this so bizarre? Jenny Durkin supports heroin death sites in Seattle and King County. She has been supportive of the government spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars setting up heroin dens where addicts can go and inject poison into their veins under the watchful eyes of local government. So Jenny Durkin wants to set up a place where you can inject heroin, but she wants to ban e-cigs. Does that make any sense at all? And I'll give you another one. Many states, now the Supreme Court has, several months ago, the Supreme Court said that states can engage in sports gambling or can license it and tax it to private companies. It was previously only legal in Nevada and on a very limited basis in a couple of other states that was such a small exception, it's not even worth talking about. But now there are, if you've ever been to a Nevada casino, Vegas, Reno, a big sports book where they have all the odds for the day's games up on the wall and big screen televisions where you can watch all the games and watch all of your bets. Do you know that last month, we just got the figures today, New Jersey did more sports gambling business than Nevada, where it had been established for decades and decades. But just starting it up a couple of months ago in New Jersey, they're now doing more business in sports betting than Nevada. And there are 21 states that have either legalized or are close to legalization of sports gambling. Is Washington one of them? No. Washington isn't even considering it. And I saw an interview with a Democrat in our legislature, and they said that, no, we're not even close. No, nobody's even proposing sports gambling here in Washington, to which I reply, why not? It's a voluntary tax. And it's not like we're some prudes when it comes to gambling because, the tribal casinos, they make hundreds of millions. You have the Washington State Lottery, where the state runs the biggest ripoff gambling game there is. You have horse racing. You have all, you got bingo. You got all kinds of gambling in the state. But the one that we will not tolerate, we've legalized heroin in King County. But we can't make a $10 bet against the Mariners or on the Mariners if you don't need the 10 bucks. You can seriously have personal possession amounts of meth in King County, but it is still a felony if you make a sports betting bet here in Washington. And that's because the gambling interests that are already entrenched in our state, they don't want the competition. But this is a vast pot of available money that right now, there are a lot of people who gamble on sports. They just do it on offshore accounts. And all the tax money flows out of the state. Washington could make a fortune. And it's voluntary taxation. You don't want to be taxed for sports betting? Don't make a sports bet. But we remain one of the most bizarre states in the union where heroin is acceptable, e-cigs are not. Meth is fine. Sports betting is not. If you can make any sense of that, please let me know, because I'm having trouble making sense with how ridiculously liberal we are when it comes to drugs and how regressive we are when it comes to things like sports gambling. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
Oh, the debate last night. I was so bored. I was bored and infuriated because if you watched all the post-debate analysis, Kamala Harris, she killed it. And I just found her to be a frightening individual. So the big moment was when she called Joe Biden a racist. And this is the moment that's gotten all the traction.
I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
It's a mischaracterization.
Okay, I gotta pause that. First of all, that apparently is a lie because she was in the second grade in 1964. And somebody posted today, the Berkeley Public Schools, which is where she attended, that in the high school yearbook, 1964, 1963, they were fully integrated and apparently had been for years. So that appears to be a lie. Secondly, she says, you opposed busing. Busing is the single most damaging social program ever done in the city of Seattle. And I've talked about that extensively. 1978 is when Seattle started going from a wonderful city, low crime, lots of kids, lots of faith, to what it is now. High crime, most childless, most unchurched, and the reason is busing. That's when families fled the city. Talk to people in Boston about the virtues of busing. And it's a losing issue for the Democrats. 61% of Americans are against any form of compulsory busing in their child's school district. So she just spins this yarn to try to make Joe Biden a racist.
My position across the board, I do not praise racists. That is not true. The fact is that in terms of busing, The busing, you would have been able to go to school the same exact way because it was a local decision made by your city council. That's fine. That's one of the things I argued for, that we should be breaking down these lines.
Okay, and the problem is Biden just looked deer in the headlights all night, and every analyst said it was a horrible night for Biden. It was. He looked really old. He sounded clueless. He wasn't able to real forcefully rebut Kamala Harris. But Joe Biden's not a racist. And she accused him of being that because he said busing is a local school's issue, not a national issue. And he's absolutely right about that. And so for her to twist it the way she did, but he did such a weak job of rebutting it. But that doesn't mean that she was strong. In fact, like I said, some of the things she was proposing.
Senator Harris, we'll let you all speak. Senator Harris.
You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table.
A bunch of brain dead people in that audience. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. No, we don't. At least I don't. I'm guessing my listeners don't. We don't need government to put food on our table. We actually, most of us, we take responsibility for feeding ourselves and feeding our own families by hard work, earning a paycheck, taking part of that paycheck, going to the grocery store, buying food for our kids and our spouses. We don't need government. I mean, it's such a loser attitude. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. And the crowd, woo, yeah. Really? So you can't put food on the table yourself. You need government to do that. You need to vote for more socialism so you can feed your family. This is the kind of nonsense that was being spun all night long. I have a ton more audio from the debate. I will share it throughout the afternoon with you. But for now, that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then after 86 years in business, a local institution can now see the end. It's a shame. It's because of the crime in Seattle. We'll talk to the owner next. Well, I got an email yesterday from a guy that we've had on the show before. It's near the end. It's the beginning of the end for a Seattle institution. Hardwick and Sons Hardware Store over there in the U District on Roosevelt. It's going bye-bye. And I saw a Idaho newspaper story about how they're going to relocate this hallowed Seattle business to Post Falls, Idaho. The owner of Hardwick & Sons is Dean Hardwick. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Dean, it's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, hi, Dory. Nice to talk to you, too.
Okay, so in case people weren't listening last time we talked, I told you when I was a student at the University of Washington, I love walking through old hardware stores, especially the ones that have a little bit of clutter to them. There was one in Ballard, Crown Hill Hardware. There's one in Chelan, Ace Hardware that I love. And your store. I would just walk around your store when I was a student at the University of Washington a million years ago. How long have you guys been in business there?
Well, at that location, it's 81 years
Okay. Of
our 87 years existence.
81 years. And when you first contacted me months and months ago, you just said Seattle had gotten not only too expensive, but I remember there were some, drug-fueled crimes right outside your store, weren't there?
Yeah, we would find needles, and then people would be tenting in our backyard and our back parking lot. And we'd find needles all the time, and then indigents come in and steal, and it's just and plus I'm just kind of fearful for my kids. I have a daughter who occasionally closes out, and I'm not there, and I make sure that one of our longstanding employees are with her to walk her to the car.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all. So, and you own the property. You guys sold the property, right?
Yeah, my family owns the property. I don't own 100% of it, so it's split between myself and my brother's widow. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. And so we pretty much just, the store is not self-supporting. Last year I made probably a negative $4 an hour.
Okay. But here's what I figured when I talked to you. I thought, well, but the property's worth a fortune. You guys are going to cash out and then just live a good life of retirement. But when I saw that you are opening a new hardware store in Post Falls, Idaho, that made it clear you love the business and you're still going to work in the business. You just don't want to do it in Seattle anymore.
That's right. And actually, my son, who will be the fourth generation, he's working hard on the website. And so that'll be one of our foundations for the new business. But, you know, I'm passing along actually the philosophy I got from my father and mother. My father passed away 76, gave the business to my brother and I. And then my mother basically charged us about one-seventh the normal rent so that we could build the business and have families. And both we had families, and so I want to do the same thing to my son, for my son, rather.
And so you're still going to charge him rent on this new building. He's going to have to work for a living, not just be the inherited wealth that could come with having a nice prime piece of real estate on Roosevelt.
Well, yeah. I mean, he has a good work ethic. So we did homeschool, even though we're Roman Catholic. And all my kids, they have a good work ethic, and they're all best friends to one another, and they don't really participate in the modern world, which has all its traps.
Where'd the work ethic come from? For all the parents with little kids who are listening right now, how did you instill that?
Probably by example. Plus they enjoyed the business, and actually about 12 years ago, they were between 13 and 22 years old, and they picked up the TV that was in the closet, in the living room, on their own volition, without any encouragement from their parents, and they put it in the closet. So that is the benefit of homeschool. They were just something that's naturally instilled by their faith, and it's just been a blessing. It was a hard thing at first to do, mm-hmm. homeschool, but I told my wife at the time, way a long time ago, that in the end it would work out better for us, and it has.
Yeah,
it's been easier.
Yeah, no, it sounds absolutely wonderful. So I still have to get in there before you close the doors and lock it up. So what am I going to see when I? Because I haven't been there for a couple of decades, Dane. What am I going to see when I walk in there?
Well, it will be more than you saw a couple decades ago. In the beginning, when I took over from my father, it was a little bit different emphasis on types of product. He was buying from about 20 manufacturers around the U.S., and I increased it along with my brother up to about 150. And there was like three showcases in 1970, and now there's over 30,
okay.
which most of them I built. And so it's got pegboard to the ceiling and stuff hanging everywhere. So it's mostly emphasized in the tool realm, but we do also carry hardware and even plumbing and electrical.
There you go. All right. But you still have that clutter that I love, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this, but when the firemen who shop there, they kind of look the other way.
No, you probably shouldn't say that. Okay.
No. So any firemen out there, Yeah. You didn't hear it.
Okay. All right. No, I don't have any firemen listen to my show. Okay.
No,
well,
nice guys. So.
I wish you the very best. I was impressed when I saw that you weren't just selling out and collecting the dough, but opening another store in Post Falls, Idaho. But I'm sorry that Seattle's losing you guys after 86 years. That's a shame.
Yes, I know. I'm really sad about it, but you know, it's just too dangerous here.
I understand. All right. Well, Dean, I'll come by and see you sometime before you close, and I wish you the very best.
Okay, thanks a lot, Doug.
Okay, you bet. Dean Hardwick, Hardwick & Sons on Roosevelt there. As always, I'd love to hear what you think. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. As the afternoon presses on, I'll have a lot more audio to share with you from that Democrat debate last night. How about that Marianne Williamson? Did you see the people who were begging us to get her as a guest on the show? I was getting tweets about that last night. Yeah, we got to get her on.
Okay.
We had on last year, we had two of the three, or 2016, we had the Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. We had Trump, the Republican candidate. We invited Hillary. She was the only one who didn't come on.
I know. That would be the Democratic nominee.
Yes. So I think we should try to get as many of these primary people.
Primary people?
Yeah. But Marianne Williamson's the only one that I really want.
Okay.
She's new agey.
I think she could surprise us all because I think she's got the Trump factor. The non-politician, just she'll get kind of popular. She'll say funny things and people just vote for her for that reason alone.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to be quite the takeaway that Trump did, but I think that she might make it further than we think she will.
I don't think so. I like this. Last night on Twitter, somebody put one of Marianne Williamson's debate answers and set it to the music from Twin Peaks.
Donald Trump is not going to be beaten just by insider politics talk. He's not going to be beaten just by somebody who has plans. He's going to be beaten by somebody who has an idea what this man has done. This man has reached into the psyche of the American people, and he's harnessed fear for political purposes. So, Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out. So I have a feeling you know what you're doing. I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and, sir, love you.
She's a writer. So she does.
She's a loon. She's one of those new age crystal loons. And even last night on Seth Meyers, Kate McKinnon, who's so funny from Saturday Night Live, they said, look, if you're going to do a Marianne Williamson impression, you better get it done right now.
The window for Marianne Williamson impressions might be closing fast.
Mm-hmm. My plan is to gather all the sage in America and burn it. My plan is to harness the energy of babies to finally put a man on the moon. And I said to the president of New Zealand, I said, girlfriend, you're so odd. And I would say to Donald Trump, boyfriend, you chill. Thank you.
There you go.
Pretty good.
That's not bad for on the fly. She didn't know she was going to have to do that. Bernie Sanders drawing some criticism. Oh, man, Bernie looked and sounded old. Bernie and Joe, they looked and sounded like the two guys in the balcony on The Muppet Show. They were just, I don't like that stuff. I'll give you some spray stuff. They just looked and sounded awful. And Bernie, you know, bless his heart that he can fool so many people because he's a avowed socialist. He's this fake Democrat, avowed socialist who owns three houses worth millions of dollars, who earned a couple million dollars as his tax returns revealed. And instead of donating all the excess money that he's earned, because that's how he views it. If you earn too much money, that's excess money that government should confiscate. And so if he was a true socialist, first of all, he would sell at least two of his three houses. and preferably all three, and donate all of that money to the Democracy Now! Radio Network so you could help spread the message. Or give it to anybody. But this is a guy who, he didn't earn a paycheck until he was 40 years old. He was a bum. He slept on mommy's couch till he was 40. He didn't earn a paycheck. And guess how he got to the debate last night? He flew first class. What kind of a socialist flies first class? Now, understand, I have nothing against flying first class. I think it's a wonderful way to travel. But I'm not a hypocrite. And I don't talk about the evils of having money. And I don't talk about how government should confiscate the excess money of people who, the greedy rich who earn too much. You earn your money, you want to fly first class? Fly first class. It's lovely. But for Bernie, if he wanted to be a true man of the people, he would fly coach and he would take the difference between first class and coach and he would donate it to some socialist cause. He'd donate it to, you know, hungry children or anything. But that's the thing with these hypocrite politicians who live one life and talk an entirely different life. And then it was interesting last night because that one guy, Swalwell, he said, well, the difference between Bernie and me and Biden and me, I have to actually live with the consequences of the decisions I make. In other words, suggesting that Bernie and Biden were so old, they're going to die before they see the consequences of their politics. And so Bernie was asked about that.
Yeah. Senator, there is a generational argument being made by one of your younger rivals, suggesting that maybe you and Vice President Biden are too old for this race. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think that's kind of ageism, to tell you the truth. And I think what we are trying to do, what all of us are trying to do, is to end discrimination in this country against women, against minorities, against the LGBT community. And I think on ageism as well. Look.
Okay, so in other words, those young punks, they are the ageist candidates who are willing to speak out against how old Bernie and Biden are. So it was all really interesting just to watch this whole thing unfold last night. I think Trump was the biggest winner of both of the last two nights. I think that he came across the absolute best. And, man, remember when, I'll play this for you next hour, too. Remember when Chris Matthews, how excited he was when Joe Biden got in the race? He had another tingle up his leg. Last night, Matthews pretty much said that Biden's finished because Kamala Harris destroyed him. So these analysts, they don't have any moral compass either. They just swing with whatever the fad of the moment is. Talk about that and a lot more next hour. I'm Dory Monsichon.